Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Yes, good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Poetry Superhighway Live. Rick Lupert here from the Poetry Superhighway. Starting off our monthly broadcast, it's an open mic, an open reading, open for you to call in and share your work to our huge audience. You know, I was just looking online at the archive, and I can kind of log in and see how many people have listened to past episodes. And our last show, our February 2010 open reading, was listened to by over 1,500 people. So this is a great opportunity for you to call in and read your work and expose it to quite a large audience. You know, I go to a lot of live open readings, and some of them are pretty well attended, but there certainly ain't 1,500 people sitting in the coffee house listening to your work. On top of which, as an open reader, you in person have to wear pants, whereas here on Poetry Superhighway Live, on the phone or via Skype or however it is that you call in, you don't. So that's all I'm saying, folks. This is a great opportunity. Call in. Share your work. So, again, I'm Rick Lupert. I run the Poetry Superhighway. The website is poetrysuperhighway.com. And we have callers on the line who we're going to get to in a few minutes. But I want to mention a few things that we've had going on the last month or so, some other things coming up. We just completed the 10th annual Great Poetry Exchange. If you don't know what this is, basically the idea for it grew out of the generosity of the many people who sponsored past Poetry Superhighway contests. So in the contest, as you'll hear about in the upcoming months as we prepare for the summer contest, anyone who enters gets a prize just for entering, thanks to the generosity of the many sponsors who donate tons and tons of prizes. So I thought, well, how do we capitalize on that energy and that generosity without running another contest? So that's how the Great Poetry Exchange came about. The idea is that if you have a book of poetry, even if it's something that you edited, an anthology that you're in, whether it's a perfect bound book or just a chapbook that you put together or a one-off that you printed off your computer and stapled and made look nice, if you signed up online during the month of February and to send that book to another randomly selected participant, then what happens is I put your book up online, and at the end of the month, which just happened a few days ago, I send an email out to all of the participants letting you know who to send your book to. So you will send your book to someone else in the world who's also a participant, and in exchange, what do you get out of it? Well, someone else is going to send you a book. And that's what's happening right now. We had 90 people sign up to participate in this year's Great Poetry Exchange, about half of whom have already notified me that they have sent out their books. So if you're a participant, odds are 50-50 at this point that there's already a poetry book in the mail from somewhere else in the world heading to you. If you are a participant and you haven't let me know that you are, that you've sent out your book, please let me know that so I can mark you off on the roster and we'll avoid me sending you increasingly annoying follow-up emails. Who wants follow-up emails that are annoying? Nobody, right? Right. So that's it. And by the way, if you're a participant and you haven't received the email on where to send your book to, then shoot me an email, because I was using a new mail merge program, and I heard from a couple people that they didn't get their get the email letting them know where to send their book. So it's possible that that you're one of those people if you didn't get that email. So let me know. So anyway, that's happening now. It's very exciting. The vision of poetry books flying all over the world from one place to the other. You don't know what you're going to get. You don't know who's going to get your book and what they're going to think of it. It's just cool, and that is happening right now. So on to our open reading. The number to call in is area code 646-716-7362. Call in right now, and I'll put you on there and read. We let you read one poem, and I'll talk to you a little bit about what's going on in your community. If you want to make an announcement of something that's coming on, a reading that you're participating in, if you're running a contest on the web, if you just want to plug your website, anything, just call in, even if you don't want to read something. And it's just kind of an open forum to expose as many people to as many other people's poetry as possible. And a little plug here, if there's time a little bit later, depending on the number of callers we get, I have a new spoken word MP3 that I'd like to play for you as well on the air. I've put out this invitation in the past. If you, for some reason, can't participate in the show live when it's happening, or if you've put something together that sounds cool, send it to me in email, and if there's time, I'll play it. I'll play it on the air. And I've got an example, a new example of a spoken word track that I've put together that I hope to get to a little bit later in the show. So again, the number to call in is 646-716-7362. We're going to go to our first caller right now from the 949 area code. Hello.
Hey, this is Howard Yosha.
Hi, Howard.
I'm calling from the art festival in San Clemente where I'm selling my paintings and my wife's pottery, and I thought I'd call in because I got your email.
That's excellent. Well, the system works. You've called from there before, as I recall.
Yes. It's once a month. It's the first Sunday of each month. And I am selling some poetry books here also, so everything is tying together.
That's cool. How do sales go at a place like that where you wouldn't necessarily expect people looking for poetry per se at an art fair?
Well, if they look at the price tag in my art and they find it's too expensive, they could easily get illustrated poetry book with a few paintings in it. I mean, you know, it's $20 for a book versus, you know, $300, $400, $500 for something that's framed and, you know, is pretty expensive, really. So,
yeah, I suppose though those sound like reasonable prices for art. You know what I'm saying? But you're right. You're absolutely right. $20 is certainly a lot less. So, do you sell a lot of copies, or do you sell?
I've probably sold at least a couple copies for each show, or maybe three copies if I'm lucky. I'm not really looking to make a profit. I'm looking to get into bigger and better art shows. Which is an expensive task, actually. So this year I was asked to try out for the Art Affair, and it actually costs nearly $2,000 to rent a booth at the Art Affair. And also I was asked to go to the LA Festival of Books with First Books, my publisher for my first book, and I think originally they wanted something like $4,000. For a gigantic booth. And I looked myself, and the cheapest possible price was $900 if I did it myself, which is very expensive. I mean, I could do two or three festivals all year for that price.
Right.
So it's daunting to go to one of these big festivals.
I can imagine. I guess you're kind of highlighting the struggle of the independent artist in any genre, whether it's poetry or the, you know, a physical medium of some kind, like you're mentioning, to you know, I guess our goal really is to get our art out there, whether it's poetry or painting or whatever, and the kind of show that you're at, and I just find it interesting because typically poets don't per se go to these kinds of art shows, and so I wasn't necessarily trying to get at, well, how, you know, how many books did you sell? But, you know, what the cool thing about it is that you're exposing your poetry to a group of people who you wouldn't necessarily get it out to. You know, I mean, typically the poet gets our work out to people on the internet, to other poets or to people who specifically are looking for poetry, or at a poetry reading where you're there because you're interested in the poetry, that kind of thing. So you're kind of in the wild, in a sense, in that there's this whole potential audience of people who didn't know they were going to come across poetry and weren't necessarily looking for it.
Well, that's true. A lot of my paintings also have poetic, you know, phrases or sayings in them also. So I'm trying to sneak it in that way, too.
Cool. So, Howard Yosha from San Clemente, do you got a poem to read to us?
Sure. It's called Fallen Blind Walker's Divine Intervention Resurrection. sty infection, let out toxins, allow life to bloom, not fester and sweat from miles running at lunch. Why eat when you can run over the tallest bridges, over the 91, over the 57, on Mira Loma in Anaheim, over the 405, over the 55 airport split on Red Hill and Costa Mesa, drunk on endorphins, water from the break room, protein bars, sun-fed vitamin E after pounding fast-paced road work. Swelling toes grow on the blue bus, National Boulevard stop, long walks down Venice, Pico, and Sepulveda, walking where no one walks in L.A. Street signs with graffiti on the reverse sides tell tales of gangs marking borders with tags, climbing the hill overlook of the Pacific on the west downtown smoggy skyscrapers to the east, Westwood window shopping, walking to Borders Books on 3rd Street Promenade past dead bookstores, dead shopping malls, living, barely dodging traffic, gridlock with foot-falling feet. The sugar in the blood was fuel, poison damning life of the diabetic. On Wood Creek runs among the marathoners, triathletes, and triple diamond riders in Aliso Viejo, trails of rock, sand, creek smells of stagnant water, screaming carrion vultures, scratchy, brushy brambles and socks. Past the golf course on Muirlands, the orange lemon grove grows. On the trail, watch out for bees, the sign says. Wooden bridges over creeks, paths under streets save lives under super streets like Moulton. Santiago Canyon becomes Chapman, becomes Sepulveda. Longest road of them all kills crosswalkers. On the day of death, crawling, obese, pathetic, praying, help me crawl, help me walk, help me run, help me live. Lowest day, roll the 100-sided dice. Pray for divine intervention on the sidewalk. God lit the light of the Savior, fallen, blind, divine intervention, resurrection gave the energy to exercise. The music from satellite radio was the exercise fuel. All you need is a reason to run, a reason to live, a reason to lose weight, a reason to change lifestyle. Fallen off the couch onto the carpet, crawling to the door to walk for life.
Nice job, Howard. I love the way that piece began, especially I love all the geographical references. There's something very interesting to me about writing in one's surroundings, and I love it when that comes through in a poem, or it's easy for me as the listener or the reader to kind of picture myself there and kind of experiencing it. And it's how I write a lot of my poetry as well, as a matter of fact. So very cool. Well done.
No problem. Thanks for letting me join in.
No problem. Come up. You're in Southern California. You should some Tuesday night when you can make the drive, come up to the Cobalt and participate in the reading we do there.
Okay. Sounds great. I'll try that.
All right. Well, have fun at the art festival, and thanks again for calling in.
No problem. Take it easy.
You too. It's Howard Yosha calling from an art festival in San Clemente here in Southern California. He's called in before. What a cool thing. You're sitting there selling your art and putting poetry books out to go whole hog and call into an open reading. And that's the awesomeness of this show. You can participate from anywhere in the world, anywhere you want, just by calling in. You don't even have to show up anywhere. It's very cool. All right, so call in, people. The number is area code 646-716-7362. You can read a poem. You can talk about what's happening in your poetic world. I'm moving right now to a caller from the 973 area code. Hello.
You did it. You did it. I am a repeat offender in every sense of the word. In the purest sense, this is Studley Do Right, a.k.a. David Nevis, calling you from the lush rolling hills of Newark, New Jersey, the radioactive hills, where I'm attending not an art festival, but a fart festival, as I'm literally cutting the cheese. Yes, I'm eating cheese. I'm having this Portuguese cheese, and I'm literally cutting it. So I just thought that play on words would be kind of appropriate and ridiculous for the beginning of your program.
David, this is so great that you called, because I was hoping to just take a nap for a while, so I'm gonna put the headphones down and go in the other room while you read your work, and then I'll come back. Is that all right?
Yes, but then I wouldn't be able to give the shameless plug for your book, Sins of Buckwood, which on page 17 reads, and I noticed this, on the road again. The first sign we see on the way to Canada says, "Welcome to New Jersey." I'll let you draw your own conclusions. Listen, don't hold it against us just because we have a fat fuck for a governor.
Sorry, I just thought since you read one of my poems that I would throw the applause sound effect on there. But,
well, one of the little guys that throw the fruit and the Molotov cocktails, where are those guys?
I don't know. I don't have that effect. I don't have that sound effect.
Okay. Let me drop this on you real quick. Enough of the jocularity. Anyway, I just wanted to mention that today's March the 6th. It's the 4th anniversary of my mom's death. But I'm pulling a Beethoven on you guys, which means that Beethoven, at the lowest point of his life, was going deaf and had just suffered several disappointments and tragedies at the same time in his life. And yet, he wrote the Second Symphony. And I urge everyone to hear that Second Symphony, and there's absolutely no trace of any kind of depression or any kind of sadness. It is a joyous symphony, and that's what I wish to do today. I'm going to pull a Beethoven on you guys, so I'm going to read Mood for the Day 5. Mood for the Day 5, Mr. Studley's Neighborhood. It starts like this. It's a wonderful day in the beauty wood, a wonderful day in the beauty, would you be mine? In the neighborhood, I fall in love with the day girl behind the bar. A daily event as she in turn loves me back until the tab's been paid. But my 20 bucks on the bar is but a mere wisp of memory long gone. I ask her to pour me an STD with a twist of lemon. She gives me crabs, but not from the sea. There's no shell to crack with my STD and my sad sore pockets. She's a puppy little peanut who bedazzles me with her lips connected to hips that go bumpity bump boom boom. That bitch, that bitch, that bitch. Bumpity bump boom boom. She's from Brazil, you see. Bumpity bump boom boom, and her hips go bumpity bump boom boom. Perky little sluts, you're turn me on. Bumpity bump boom boom, the hips go bumpity bump boom boom. Bumpity bump boom boom. In my neighborhood, I fall in love with the night girl behind the bar. A nightly spectacle with pantomimed almost sex and bad faith pledge of love forever, which will last as long as the 20 that sits on the bar. My barroom butterfly looks like Comrade Brezhnev with tits. As her perfect hair swings in seductive air, she pours my Molotov in grandiosity to fall down on bended knee, to worship her lips to her hips as she goes, bumpity bump boom boom. That bitch, that bitch, that bitch. Bumpity bump boom boom. She's from Brazil, you see. Bumpity bump boom boom. And her hips go bumpity bump boom boom. Inflatable slut dolls are so much cheaper. Bumpity bump boom boom. Those hips go bumpity bump boom boom. Bumpity bump boom boom. In my neighborhood, I fall in love with a hairstylist which is an occurrence less frequent than the menstrual rag, but no less bloody. She is the mirrored reflection with the dangerous implements, who asks me the mystery question, which I had better answer correctly. What is the difference between a barber and a hairstylist? Answer. One makes you look like a dickhead, and the other makes you look like a buttermilk biscuit. Correct! Whew, with a sigh of a pardoned death row convict. So she snips at the tips with her lips to her hips as she goes, bumpity bump boom boom. That bitch, that bitch, that bitch. Bumpity bump boom boom. She's a Brazilian ninja, you see. Bumpity bump boom boom. And her hips go bumpity bump boom boom. Hurt me, Vivi. Write me bare chicks. Bumpity bump boom boom. The hips go bumpity bump boom boom. Bumpity bump boom boom. I'm so glad that you could stop by. Come back real soon, you hear? It's a wonderful day for a beauty, Wood. A wonderful day for a beauty. Would you be mine?
Well, David, I have to admit I'm kind of stuck on the line Brezhnev with tits. I'm not sure I heard much after that because it was such a horrifying vision. But I do appreciate you reading your poem, as always.
Yeah, I'm not a well man, Rick. I'm not a well man.
That's my theory.
I know.
And no offense meant by that poem about New Jersey in my book.
As we say in Goodfellas, I was just breaking your balls a little bit.
It does say at the end of that poem, "I'll let you draw your own conclusions." Yeah. You know, so they could be positive conclusions.
Yes, indeed they could. But New Jersey, we know very well that the two terms "living in New Jersey" are mutually exclusive. That they are in fact oxymorons. I don't know what the fact. I know about the morons. We have a governor sitting. We have one sitting in the governor's chair, but the ox has fled the scene.
There you go. Well, David, thanks so much for calling in and being a repeat offender as always.
In the purest sense of the word.
No doubt. Take it easy. Talk to you next time. That's David Neves calling from Newark, New Jersey. A force. He's just a force. I don't really have anything to say after that. All right, then. The number to call in is 646-716-7362. Call in. Read your poetry. We want to hear it. I took a poll, and 9 out of 10 people listening to this show want to hear your poetry. So there you go. Moving right along to the next caller from the 585 area code. Hello.
Hi, Rick. It's Larry.
Hi, Larry. How are you?
Doing good. How are you?
I'm good. This is Larry Bergere calling from Rochester, right?
Yep. Congratulations. 1,500. Wow.
Yeah, I was pretty excited when I looked that up.
Yeah. Okay, I'll get right to it. This is an older one. I've written two venue dedication pieces. This is one of them. It's called Cobalt Blues. It's not so bad. I've never seen the valley before. Talk about a city of lights. Oh, there's a bus bench. Great. My feet are killing me. There's a payphone, too. Cool. It's 5 a.m., and at home they have bus schedules. I'm saved. Thanks, Rick. No one's ever given me a don before. I'll see you next week.
That's great, Larry. That's for the Cobalt Cafe here in Southern California,
yep.
I guess, after your first time here. Is that right?
The first time I got lost. It took me 5 hours of walking around and another 6-hour bus ride to get home. When I got home, I wrote that, and I'm thinking of putting it in a manuscript I'm putting together, but I have a policy of when I do venue dedication people, the host has to hear it first, so I don't know if I'd ever done it for you before.
I don't think I've heard it. So what? I know, you don't live anywhere near here. You live like 3,000 miles away now. So when when was the first time you were at the Cobalt Cafe?
Oh, God, it was 12, 13 years ago.
Wow, so pretty close to when I first started hosting. Well, actually, it's even a few years later because I started hosting that venue in 1994.
Yeah, this was in 96, I believe.
Which is, 17 years at this point I've been hosting that reading. That's insane. Cool. Well, tell me the first line again. There was something I wanted to...
It's not so bad. Talk about the City of Lights,
I thought that really kind of sums up the Cobalt. It's not so bad.
Yeah.
Cool. Well, anything else you want to plug going on in
I got
in
my second interview ever coming out on My Literary Quest at WordPress.com on Friday.
Your interview, in other words, someone has interviewed you regarding your poetry world.
Yeah.
Okay.
And that's coming out on Friday. 9 a.m., so I'm very excited. It's only my second one ever, so I'm still kind of new at this.
Fantastic.
Thanks. And let's see, what else is new? I got my first royalty check from my publisher, which was an interesting experience.
It was just interesting or not good? You think getting a royalty check would be a good experience?
It was a good experience, but it was interesting. I've always self-published before, and the first time I had to keep... Brendan and Murray honest, so I finally put it on a publisher that can go everywhere.
Oh, right, in terms of the quotes that are on the back of your book. That you use. Actually, I should point this out, Larry. You're nice enough to advertise in our newsletter, so your book, Instant Poetry, Just Add Words, has been one of the featured classifieds for a while, and there are... quotes there from people who you just mentioned. You drop their names, but there's a lot of people who probably haven't heard of them, so
well,
I just wanted to clarify that.
Well, most specifically mentioned, Brendan once called me the omnipresent Laughing Larry.
Referring to
and
Brendan
Murray
Constantine.
And Murray said I went everywhere, so I had to have a publisher that goes everywhere. And I finally put it on iUniverse so it would literally go everywhere. Borders, Amazon, Barnes & Noble, any independent bookstore in the world, everywhere.
Can order it. Right. I think, was it Brendan who referred to you as the Salvador Dalai Lama?
No, that was Robert Wynn.
Oh, Robert Wynn. Okay.
Yeah.
Cool. Well, that's a good quote, too. Well, Larry, thanks so much for calling in. And
thanks for having me, and congratulations again.
Oh, sure. No, thank you.
Yeah.
Take it easy. That's Lawrence Berger calling from Rochester, New York. Used to be a Southern California resident, so we were talking a little bit there about the venue that I host every week, the Cobalt Cafe in Canoga Park, which you should definitely come out to. I love the way Larry kind of summed it up in his tribute poem to the Cobalt there, right at the first line. It's not that bad. I think that kind of does sum up the whole Cobalt experience. So, again, the number to call in is 646-716-7362. Our website, by the way, is poetrysuperhighway.com. You should head there. You can see the new poets we publish every week. Just we put them online every Saturday. So there's two brand new poets up as of yesterday afternoon. You can listen there to all of the previous shows. The Blog Talk Radio shows are archived there. You can see all the past featured poets. You can see our submission guidelines. Maybe you'd like to be a featured poet. Just click on submission guidelines from the main Poetry Superhighway menu, and then please do follow those if you do choose to submit. And we consider your work every single week for up to 6 months to be published as a Poet of the Week. We do cool projects like the recently completed Great Poetry Exchange. Coming up... at the end of this month, I'll be announcing the next ebook free for all. So that was kind of came out in response to the Great Poetry Exchange, where people had asked if they could participate with ebooks in that, and you can't, because it's just to make it fair for everyone. The Great Poetry Exchange is all about physical books flying through the mail from one point in the world to the other. But the ebook free for all. Is all about ebooks. So if you have an ebook, or if you're willing to make an ebook, you can participate in that coming up next month. So more on that, on this show next month, as well as on the Poetry Superhighway newsletter, which you can also subscribe to on our website at poetrysuperhighway.com. All kinds of things happen there. Please check it out. So again, the number to call in here is area code 646-716-7362. Moving now to a caller from the 520 area code. Hello.
Hey, Rick. Jay DeSalvo. How you doing?
Hey, good. How are you?
I'm good, man. You know, just typical poet stuff, you know.
That I don't know that there is any typical poet stuff, but
right.
I'd love to hear what your typical poetry stuff is.
Not wanting to go into it too much, you know.
I hear you, because there could be incriminating, you know.
Right, yeah. This is being broadcast and everything.
Where are you calling from, Jay?
I'm calling from Tucson, Arizona.
My God.
I know. It's a long story, Rick. It always is.
Last I heard, you were living here in Southern California. Or then I thought, did you go up to the Bay Area for a while?
Am I just making stuff up? I went to the Bay for a little bit. I saw you at the Beyond Baroque reading with Brendan, where you were playing the guitar. Awesome.
Oh, right. The Redress series. That was a fun.
Yeah, the Redress. Series. That's what it was. Thanks. I was stumbling for that.
No worries. Cool. So let's hear your poem.
Sure. The title of the poem is also the first line. I don't write love poems, I told you. And now I can see some evil bastard, some thrice diabolical devil, some imaginary beast, some raven, sitting in our room, cackling quietly, muttering under his breath, but you will, son. Oh, you will.
Very nice. Very nice. So tell us about the online magazine that you run.
Right. It's Bicycle Review. It's bi-monthly. It's a review of literature in all forms, photography and art. If you want to find out about it, we're on Facebook. Check us out.
Cool. Bicycle, to say it again, the title?
The Bicycle Review.
Bicycle Review. Bi-monthly. It just occurred to me that I was going to start a magazine and have it be Bi-Curious Monthly.
Well, everyone will think you're ripping me off now, Rick, so it's too late.
I guess you're right. I'll have to come up with another idea. Excellent. So what are you doing in Tucson?
I am, working and riding, bicycling around, enjoying the expansive skies and beautiful mountain vistas. And it's a long story, man. There's no way we can get through it here.
That's cool. Have you?
But I'm always good to talk to you, and I miss the cobalt, at times. Wish I could head down there for sure.
This is amazing. Almost everyone who's called in has called in from somewhere outside of Los Angeles, but it's someone who I've known from L.A. and the Cobalt and stuff, so that's kind of wild. Really quickly, in Tucson, I don't know how long you've been there, but have you discovered any readings or anything that you want to plug in case someone else from Tucson happens to be listening or might listen in the future?
I haven't seen that much, but this is the college town, U of A, is out here, so I'm sure there must be something. The Tucson Weekly doesn't seem to have any open readings listed. There are readings at the university all the time, so if you go to U of A and maybe do a search for readings, you could find out about that.
Cool. Well, maybe you'll start something then.
Maybe. I don't know. I have less time than I used to. But, that'd be
well,
cool.
Keep doing the work that you're doing, and thanks a lot for calling in. Always good to hear your voice.
Thank you, Rick.
Take it easy. That's Jay DeSalvo calling this time from Tucson, Arizona. Is called into the show before. Used to be an L.A. guy, someone I know, have participated quite frequently at the Cobalt Cafe, actually going back to even before I started hosting it 17 years ago. I can't believe it's 17 years. I've been saying 16 for so long, but the number 17, it just occurred to me. That's just really just this month is the 17th year that I've been doing that. So I feel historical in some sense. All right, we're going to get to the next couple of callers in a second, but we're about halfway through the show, so I thought this would be a good opportunity to share with you this new spoken word track I put together for a poem I wrote a while ago called An Israeli Breakfast, which I wrote, as a matter of fact, in Israel on a trip there a few years ago. So you'll hear me reading in it, and then another voice will come on. This is actually the voice of actor Michael Constantine, who came in and did a little bit of an improv on the piece. So check it out. This is An Israeli Breakfast. Israeli breakfast is the stuff that dreams are made of, especially if you dream of cheese. They don't worry so much about the disease of culture in the Holy Land. Consequently, the dairy products taste much better, unlike in America where they don't taste at all. Eating cheese in America is like putting on a condom and then flipping through a JCPenney catalog. Eating cheese in Israel is like riding a cow into the sea and surfing it all the way to Bodrum, Turkey, where once a young woman from Sherman Oaks exited an airplane to be greeted by a bald man and his famous father.
I am that famous bald father. No, wait a minute. I am that bald... No, wait. I am... that famous bald man's father. No, that's not. I am that famous father of a bald person. That's it.
I tell you more details of their adventures, but they're not mine.
The details are mine. I'll tell you one great detail. My son and I, with a Turkish friend sitting by the Aegean Sea as the moon came up. It was evening when we sat down, but it became night, and slowly over our heads this beautiful moon shining on the Aegean Sea, and the splashing sound as the man of the restaurant washed the fish in the sea, because they said you must never wash the fish in any other water than the water that it lived in. You don't wash it in the sink. You have to wash it in the sea where it came from. And it was so beautiful with the moon above us that it would have been the ideal place to have a romantic situation with a lady. But nothing could have been more wonderful than having that time with my son.
People scream in elevators, and the tea is infused with so much flavor, it would be aptly named King David's Black Knight of Stone and Fire Tea, sweetened by the moon and a fork full of honey. One is exceptionally alive when eating, drinking, breathing, or thinking in Israel.
Monkeys is the craziest people.
Well, there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. My spoken word track, An Israeli Breakfast, that I thought I would share with you because I'm proud of it, and also because I want to reiterate the invitation to you. If any of you have a spoken word track that you would be interested in having featured on the show, just send me an email about it or a link to the MP3 or however you want to do it. I want to add more of those kinds of things to this show in addition to the open reading component. So there you go. My email, by the way, is rick@poetrysuperhighway.com. And you can check out more info about me, the website for Poetry Superhighway at poetrysuperhighway.com. We're going to get to our next callers now. If you'd like to call in, number 646-716-7362. And moving right now to our next caller from the 559 area code. Hello.
Hello.
Hi, who's this?
This is Romus Simpson.
Romus Simpson, where are you calling from?
I'm actually back in Southern California, but I was living in Fresno. I'm one of your past Poets of the Week.
Oh, fantastic. How cool to hear your voice beyond just the emails that I get.
Yeah. Yeah, it was years ago. I think it was about in 2003 or 2002.
Wow.
Even before then. Yeah.
It's amazing what happens when you keep doing something year after year, that suddenly things that you did early on were a long time ago.
Yeah.
So, Romus, yeah, so, you got a poem for us?
Yeah, I have a poem for you. It's called I Thought of You. And you want to hear it, here it goes. It was a blue dusk, an empty park marbled in shadows, the broad luminous back of the sun striding, leaving without bells to another early country, and the moon not yet awake, stirring love above the night hand canopy. God began to finger the nightly fresco of stars that shone eyes in the lake's late swan reflections. A bird shook a street light awake, then by the shrill iron gates of the echoing cathedral, two women prayed another lit, wandering there in the vague halo of the Central California dusk. I thought of you. In the meridian of late dusk, where the moon comes behind the sentinel crows that are the first deep night, an orange-silver river of memory burned with the remnants of the brown October day, pushing north to the stars and into greater breath, I moved along the city's weary eye, caught gold in the avenue river rushes, was alone where each bare blind tree etched Arabic at the moon, listened to leaves flute and whirl in my wake, and thought of you.
That was nice, Romus. Well done.
Oh, thank you.
So you're saying you're back in Southern California. Where did you just come from?
I was in Fresno. When I in the 90s, I was heavy into the scene. I even read it at open mic at the Cobalt. We went out there one night.
Oh, wow.
And way back in the maybe 95, and because I remember searching for that place and we couldn't find it. But we finally found it. But yeah.
Well, that's cool. Listen, since you're back, you should definitely come back. We're still doing it out there every Tuesday night at 9 o'clock, and I would be happy to give explicit directions.
I know where it is now. I never forgot.
That's good.
After searching so hard. Yeah, congratulations on your show too.
Oh, thanks a lot, man. Well, cool. Well, welcome back to L.A., and I'm so glad you called in, and it was really great to hear your poem.
Hey, thank you so much.
All right, take it easy. That was Romus Simpson, former Poetry Superhighway Poet of the Week and apparently a Southern California guy once again. That's sort of the nexus of today's show, people who either are here or used to be here. Let's see what else we got coming up. The number, of course, to call in is 646-716-7362. Moving now to a caller from the 760 area code. Hi.
Hi. Rick.
Hi. Yeah.
It's Patricia D'Alessandro calling from Desert Hot Springs.
Hi, Patricia. How are you?
How are you? I'm glad you didn't give the full phone number. And what I'm doing is talking on the phone, but I'm getting kind of the language on the screen as well, and I don't know how to get rid of that.
Yeah, you have to turn the volume off on your computer because there's a delay there, so you really want to listen on the phone while you're here, so that way you won't get confused. I don't know if you have a mute button or if you can turn down the speakers, but
I don't know how to do that, Rick, in that I'm new to computers, and I hear myself talking right now, but I don't want to hear it when I'm doing my poetry. So if I turn the TV off, I mean the computer off, of course I won't be heard, correct?
No, because you're talking on the phone right now. So as mm-hmm. long as you don't turn the phone off, you'll be fine.
Oh, okay. So shall I just ignore the voice in the background here?
If that's your best option, then I would think so. Yes. So let's hear your poem.
Okay, the poem is called "Stalwart as a Vulture Hovers." Stalwart as a vulture hovers, hanging in the shadow of men's trousers, against a nest of angel air, safe as newborn chicks, a naked bird in vapid isolation, waiting for the day when women passing by will stimulate you to erection, straight as soldiers at attention, seeking small ablutions to this awkward situation that resurrects desires to plunge into that path of darkness, desirous, indescribable, jogging back and forth for pleasure and elation, until huge explosions are ignited in the brain, consuming you in pleasure, undefined, oh yes, in pleasure without measure, sending forth an avalanche of sperm enough to populate a nation, where only one survives, if lucky or unlucky. Mystical magnificence and conjugal connection. Afterwards, what shall you do before you settle down above your nest of angel hair, hanging once again limp as cellophane, until another woman passes by, and if lucky, your energy abounds and you smile even though you have no teeth, as though you won a jackpot until tomorrow when action on the front begins again. This is no war of hoses, but a battle for survival, wishing for a healthy plunge each day with anyone to make a ritual of jogging back and forth, accentuating super masculinity on a carousel for fun one would never find at Disneyland. Oh, lonesome penises, rising, falling, rising, falling. Every day you mimic safety rails at railroad crossings in the dark, ejaculating toward new populations in amplitude for games of manly fun. Oh, I wish you would consider halting these lurid demonstrations, breeding youths for war as harbingers in constancy and perpetuity, sons and daughters born of your desires, slaughtered needlessly for wars no longer won, and keep your bird of youth sequestered on that bed of angel hair behind a loaded cannon filled with cannonballs, loaded with a bushel full of love, and keep that loaded pecker to a level of repose so that when the guns of August roar, it fails to plumb and rise from your angel hair, resting and preparing for tomorrow's marathons so that vultures may move on to other climes.
Wow, Pat, that was stellar in so many ways. So cool. Thank you so much for reading that.
Well, thank you, Rick, for having me.
No problem. You got anything you want to mention that you have going on, upcoming reading,
yes,
book, anything?
Yes, actually I do. I'm hosting the series at Barnes & Noble first Fridays of the month, and one of your Los Angeles poets may be coming to be one of my guests. Cece is a first name. She's over at the Baroque series, and I'm hoping she's going to say yes for the June reading. And I introduced a sonneteer who calls himself a 16th century poet trying to deal with the 21st by the name of Glenn Fitch, whom I'm going to encourage to read for you because I'm his mentor, and I want to kind of try and open him up to contemporary way of writing, which I hope will be successful. So thank you, Rick. I'm taking up more time than I need, I know, but I just love your program and love what you're doing for poetry, and congratulations on your new book.
Oh, thanks so much. You had one out within the last year, as I recall, as well, so I hope that's going
yes.
well.
Pox Vobiscum poetry collection of anti-war poems. No, sales are not going well. That's why I read that poem today. That is not included in the book, but I have a publisher wanting to see my prose poem publication, which I'm working on now. So your program is wonderful because we reach audiences we would not ordinarily reach, and I do thank you for all your effort, and I know you don't have a minute to rest. So thank you, Rick. God bless you and your family and everybody who's listening.
Thanks so much, Pat. Take it easy. Thanks for tuning in, and thanks for calling in. And she kind of hit right there on the whole mission of the Poetry Superhighway, which is exposing as many people to as many other people's poetry as possible. So that's why this forum exists. That's why we publish two poets online every week, and everything we do is kind of in that vein. So very cool. All right, we got 10 minutes left in the show. I got two callers in the line. We might be able to squeeze three or four, so why not call in and give it a try? The number is 646-716-7362. Moving right now to a caller from the 602 area code. Hello.
Hello, this is David Charlton in Phoenix.
Hi, David.
I'm getting the notices about this. I thought I would try calling in. So greetings from the desert.
Fantastic. Good to hear your voice. I've been seeing you participate in Poetry Superhighway stuff for years now, so it's very cool to finally get to hear a poem from you.
Well, let me pick this one, which is on the theme of animals who are the invariably neglected in most of our political processes and in most people's minds, but I like to write about them and try and speak out for them through poetry. This one is called Earth's Own. We fancy ourselves fast or in flight. We carry mountains on our backs. We press our rocky profiles up against the sky. We are silent and the tips of our noses are moist. We rub our cheeks against tree bark and strut with wattles hanging down against our chests before we flap and heave our weight into a sycamore. We float and croak. We slither over stones with a column of vertebrae slack inside our skin. We hang from the sky with an eye for misfortune, then strip its bones clean. With our legs in the water, we stride away, stop a while, watch for a wave we can split on the way to a fish. We're still on a branch jutting out from the bank and small as a thumb on a stem leaning in front of a flower. We're so small in a storm you would think of us lost, but when the clouds clear, we call back in the light. We take wing and become specks of dust in the sun. We flow and sway, we grow tall and soak into the ground. We're a flash as we pass, looking nervously back, coyote quick and shy. We appear one by one, but imagine us gone, and a shiver runs under the skin of the earth.
Nice work, David. I just was noticing that you were actually a Poetry Superhighway Poet of the Week recently at the end of January. So if anyone wants to read more from you, they can go to the past Poets of the Week page, click on your name, just a few listings down, and read your poem, Updated Contributor's Note, which I thought was very cool.
Thank you. It's a little note. Contributor's notes invariably in magazines are quite dull, as in two or three publications and often some kind of a silly comment, and I've long thought about the fact that I really want to hear something interesting about the people whose work I read and like, and that's the origin of that sort of a poem.
It's interesting because one of the pieces that I published this week also is sort of a play on the whole process. It's a poem called Don't Drink When You Submit by John Tustin, which is who's one of the Poets of the Week this week. It's a bit more tongue-in-cheek than yours was, or more blatantly so at any rate, but you might find it enjoyable based on that.
I think I remember reading through it. Yeah, it's good.
Okay. Great. David, you participated in the Great Poetry Exchange this time around, didn't you? Am I right?
Yeah, mm-hmm. I did. Sent that off this last week.
Fantastic. Well, so I hope you enjoy the book that you get, and I wanted to thank you for participating in that project as well.
I'll be watching in the mail this week.
Do so. All right,
okay.
Take it easy. Thanks for calling in and call in again. That's David Chorlton calling from Phoenix, Arizona. A great example of a guy who's participated in Poetry Superhighway stuff literally for years. I was just glancing through the past Poets of the Week page, and his name shows up a few times. So so cool. It's really cool for me to be able to have an actual interaction with folks who've participated in Poetry Superhighway stuff. So moving on, next caller from the 949 area code. Hello. Who? Someone there from 949 area code? Apparently not. Okay. Well, do call in, folks. The number is area code 646-716-7362. If you do call in, try to pay attention so that way you are actually aware of when it is I call to you. There is a bit of a delay on the phone, or that is on the computer. So if you do call in, you should listen on the phone, so that way you'll hear when it is that you get put on the air. Whereas if you listen on the computer, you won't hear the mention of your phone number or your area code at any rate for a few seconds, and will create what's known in the business as dead air. So it's 646-716-7362. I don't know that we'll get another caller in the 3 minutes that we have left, but we'll see. And if you call in right now, I'll stick you on the air. In the meantime, I just want to say thanks to all of the people who called in today. Howard Yosha from San Clemente started off the show. David Neves, our consistent repeat offender, calling from the lush rolling hills of Newark, New Jersey, with no apologies for New Jersey, and frankly, he should be apologizing. I hold David responsible for New Jersey and everything that implies. Lawrence Bergere calling from Rochester, New York. Jay DeSalvo calling from Tucson, Arizona. Rama Simpson, who called in a few minutes ago from Southern California, and Patricia D'Alessandro from Desert Hot Springs. Check out her reading series at the Barnes & Noble out there. While there still are Barnes & Nobles, we live here, right here in the San Fernando Valley, densely populated area of Southern California, and within the last month, both our local Borders and Barnes & Noble have closed up shop, which is very sad. Well, actually, the Borders, I think, is still opening, and they're having their fire sale. And it's kind of – I guess you can get some good deals there, but it's sort of sad going into a store that's under those circumstances where they're literally selling, you know, the carpet out from under you. But check that out. And then the Barnes & Noble in Encino has just closed up, and it will be turned into a CVS. That store has been there forever, and it was such a great place to go and hang out and sit and read, and used to be a monthly reading there and that kind of thing. So it's kind of sad. So do check out Pat D'Alessandro's reading while you still can in Desert Hot Springs. I hope they don't close that place up. And finally, David Chorlton, who called from Phoenix, Arizona, first-time caller, but certainly not a first-time participant in Poetry Superhighway stuff. Our next show will be on Sunday, April 10th at 2 o'clock p.m. We will be right in the middle of National Poetry Month. We will be in the middle of the Poetry Superhighway's great ebook Free for All, which you'll hear more about at the end of this month. It'll start right on April 1st. So check that out if you've got an ebook, or if you want to put one together between now and then, or at least sometime in the month of April, you'll be able to participate in that free project and have your ebook available to everyone for a 24-hour period at the end of the month. And there you go. That's what's going on. Check out the website again, poetrysuperhighway.com. You've got some great featured poets up this week, John Tustin and Ivan Jensen. I think you'll find if you read through the Past Poets archive that there's so many different styles of poetry represented that if you don't find someone that you like that particular week, probably you'll find someone you like in the previous week, or if you go back, it's really, there's just such a wide variety of stuff there, and I'd love for you to check it out and for you to try submitting work as well. Just click on submission guidelines. They're all right there for you to participate. And please do. This is the best advice. A lot of people ask me for advice on submitting work, not just to us, but anywhere. It's really about two things. One is checking out the publication and seeing the kind of work that they publish and making sure that your stuff sort of fits in some way in the scheme of what goes on there. And finally, just really paying attention to those guidelines and following them. They're different for every publication, and you owe it to the people who are bothering to read your work to send it to them in the way that they ask for. So that's it. Thanks a lot for tuning in. We'll be back next month. Ladies and gentlemen, this has been Poetry Superhighway Live. Have a lovely rest of your day.